Hannah Stanley. Filling in for Dave Plyer. I like that. That was nice. This is WGN Radio. I think you guys knew that already. I am thrilled to get to be here with you until 5 a.m. filling in for Dave Plyer, who's on vacation. He will be back with you guys next week. How nice to get to see Lisa and Carl. They're so fun. And Shantae. Yeah. I haven't said hi to Shantae yet, but Shantae's there. And Jess, who I can't believe I don't know because she's been here off and on as long as I have. So anyway, Jess is producing for me tonight. And I want to make sure I mention that your news, the 2 o'clock newscast, was sponsored by Cars for Kids.
Wow.
So thank you.
That's nice.
Thank you, Cars for Kids.
Yeah, definitely.
1-800-1877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. We love them. Tons coming up on the show. Tons. Roger, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
I've been worried about you.
Well, I appreciate that. I do. It's been a rough week, but we are moving on.
The beloved Rufus.
Yeah. Yep.
Took care of you.
He sure did. He was there.
He and I and the other angels. He was one of.
Yeah,
he was an honorary angel.
He got us through my cancer, Bridget's cancer, her broken leg.
Your dad passing.
My dad. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
His work here was done.
Yeah.
So we will miss Rufus, and condolences to all of y'all, because that is never easy.
It's not easy.
But the harder it is, it means the more you loved them.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, they had a better life. So I think you can take solace in that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So our condolences on the loss of Rufus, my dog's friend. I always imagined that he and Emmy would get along super well.
Yeah, I think they would have. Rufus got a little mellow in his later years. wasn't trying to like.
I look forward to Emmy doing that.
Oh, really? Oops.
Well, she's like, we've talked about this on air.
Yeah.
We've pulled DNA on her because I knew she was some sort of Lhasa Shih Tzu something. But she's a mutt, right? She's from, she's a rescue dog. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the DNA swabbing.
Oh.
Uh-huh. She's a quarter Chihuahua.
You
would never know based on looking at Emmy, and we can post pictures of her. She's adorable. Actually, anytime people use dog pictures on WGN radio, it's Emmy. They always grab Emmy's picture.
There you go.
She's super cute. But you would never, never, never know that it was a quarter Chihuahua.
A Chihuahua?
Until you walk past my house, and then you would know.
Right through the curtains and the shades and everything.
Cause you know,
they sense.
Because those people could be coming to murder us. You don't know.
Well, let's hope not.
And she makes sure. Well, they're not going to.
Yeah.
Not with her around. No.
We have two across the street from us.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a second floor of an apartment building. And there's a balcony and outside of the front windows, but they aren't on the balcony. They're behind the curtains.
Yeah.
And whenever you're within 100 feet of that place.
They make sure.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Because they don't want you coming to murder their humans.
Who wants to go to the second floor?
You don't know.
And Rufus would do the same thing. We were on the first floor.
Yes.
But you couldn't, the sidewalk, the front sidewalk was lower than the window. So you couldn't see, Rufus couldn't see a dog.
Right. No, Emmy gets up on the couch that's by the windows and patrols. And then we'll follow, we're on a corner.
Keeps the evil eye out.
Yeah, we're on a corner.
Okay.
And then she will pace them around the side of the house and then bark at them on the other side of the house.
Just to make sure they keep going.
Yeah, safe. I'm safe when she's around.
Well, Rufus smelled them through the air conditioner. That was his trick. The air conditioner was below the window and he could smell the dogs.
That's amazing.
I know. He had a nose like no one knew.
Sure.
It was amazing. Well, he was a little terror. I compared him to Frasier's dog.
Eddie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of looked like that when Bridget would ask our son to take him over to get a trim, and the trim went too far.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moose, I believe, was Eddie's real name.
Oh, really?
Eddie the dog.
Yeah.
I met him.
Oh, so
yeah, I have
cool.
a picture with him. He's great. He was a very, very good dog. Coming up on the show, a couple of great stories. We're talking about the 100th anniversary of Cantini.
Mm-hmm.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Cantini Park out in Wheaton. Of course, the home of Colonel McCormick.
Mm-hmm.
The McCormick Foundation still operates out of there and runs the park. They are doing amazing things. So we're going to hear all about that. Justin Breen, our good friend, formerly of DNA Info, is calling mm-hmm. in. He will be joining us right after the 2:30 news.
Okay.
I hear our news guy is good tonight.
Yeah,
I'm excited to hear those.
So I heard.
Newscasts. Yeah. And then Johnny Olesinski. And then I said something because you gave me an on-air light and mm-hmm. a book about WGN history.
Yeah.
You sent it via Messenger. Rick Geezer showed up at a comedy event that he was coordinating and I was performing at. And he goes, here. And there was, I'm not kidding, my salad bowl that I had taken a fruit salad to his house for the Easter egg hunt last year. An on-air light from you and then a WGN book. And then it was so funny because John DeCoste from Steve Cochran's show and Patty Vasquez and I were all there. And we literally all just stopped like half an hour before showtime and started flipping through this WGN
through the WGN book. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
and the weirdest place where I found that was a secondhand store in Evanston off the beaten path. And she just had tons of postcards and music sheets and old this and old that. And I had picked up a couple of my alma mater, Evanston, mm-hmm. used to have a student talent show
mm-hmm.
and they would record them and put them on vinyl disc.
Of course.
And we used to have the ones from when my brother was there in the early 60s. And of course, my parents got rid of that. And that's going to be a discussion that we're going to have. And so I found two more.
Wow.
From back when he was there, and I have those. And that's where I found the WGN book.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very neat. So you were telling me, though, that you're going through everything and cleaning out everything, and you have so many more things. And I said, you're doing Swedish death cleaning.
And I went, what?
Huh? And you're like, I'm Jewish. And I said, no, it's Swedish death cleaning.
I don't think there's any Swedish in my DNA.
We don't know.
Yeah,
I didn't know that I had any Italian, and now according to my sister's test, we do. Yeah. So we'll see. But we're going to talk about Swedish death cleaning. The other thing I want everybody to start texting in, and Roger, you and I talked about this. You're already thinking about it. Expiration dates.
Yeah.
I went through a whole cupboard cleaning and purging.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was able to purge based on expiration dates alone, fascinating.
Yeah, I think it is it's a underused tool by people. Yes. I still don't think. I think the vast majority of people buy things without checking expiration dates, because the thought is, why would a store put something out that wasn't good anymore? Just it's just a natural thought. You go in, what's the fastest path to get my stuff in the store and get out? And I know it's fresh because the store's responsible.
No, they're not.
No.
So that's a thing you need to check. But also, we'll talk about it. But
okay.
I need to know, 312-981-7200 is the phone or text line. This is going to be our conversation probably right after the 3 o'clock news.
Okay.
But what is the oldest expiration date you've ever found in your cupboards?
Oh,
because I have a few. I've moved with things twice,
mm-hmm.
products. But there's expiration dates on other things, not just food. So we're going to talk about all of that as well. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. We are going to be back with a very funny story right after this on WGN. Boy, it is starting to feel better in here. I don't know what you did, or maybe because Carl left and the engineers thought the joke could be over, but they've turned up the AC.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Tribune employees, Tribune Tower employees.
It was like that last night, too. Friday night and a Saturday.
All right, so note to self, they don't like Bubala and they don't like Carl Lamar.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super.
Blame the guys.
Thank you, engineers, for keeping me more comfortable. So here's a weird story, and then I have a funny story. Stan Lee, you know, C2E2 is going on right now.
Yeah.
Are you a C2E2 guy?
You know, not religiously. I think I've been once mm-hmm. only to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
But I always work weekends, so I know I can't get there.
Right.
And I'm not a cosplay person.
Nope, me either.
So, I mean, I like the costumes, but, you know, it's Halloween. That's my one time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go to see...
By the way, Dr. Demento is in.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
You would be amazing as Dr. Demento for Halloween.
Me?
Nobody would get it, but you'd be great.
Okay, I could search that out.
It's the beard.
Does he have a beard?
Yeah
he's got a beard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
I would understand.
Well, of course, because you're cool.
Yes. Buffy, come back to me. God, I love that song. All right. So comic legend Stan Lee.
Comic book legend.
Not to be confused with Hannah Stan Lee. Totally
Stan
different.
Lee.
I'm Hannah Stan Lee, by the way, filling in for Dave Plyer. Stan Lee's Stolen Blood.
Huh?
Quote unquote. I know. The stolen blood was used to sign comic books sold in Las Vegas.
No way.
I know. Doesn't that headline just draw you in?
Wait a minute. Read the headline again.
Okay.
Read it again.
Comic legend Stan Lee's quote unquote stolen blood used to sign comic books sold in Las Vegas.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. TMZ, and by the way,
sorry.
In years past, pre-Michael Jackson, we would not have given this any credence. TMZ has proven themselves to be quite the reporting juggernaut. TMZ is reporting that Stan Lee's stolen blood was used to create a special ink, and that ink was used for a hand-stamped signature.
Oh, man.
Several Black Panther comic books with a hand-stamped signature were then sold at the Marvel Avenger Station, STATION, because it's got like periods after each of those. Yeah. At Treasure Island on the Las Vegas Strip, TMZ claims they were told by a close friend of Lee's that the blood was stolen in October of 2017, and Lee was reportedly told that the blood was needed for tests.
Oh, man.
The person accused of coordinating the theft has not been publicly identified. So I have so many questions. Because if he was told that the blood was needed for tests,
where are the test results?
Who took the blood? Wouldn't he have gone to a medical facility?
Then
wouldn't there be a chain of custody? I mean, this isn't like a crime.
Well,
thing.
You do not. Well, he's a little on the frail side lately, and he's been through a lot lately. Something I read a few months ago about his estate. Some of the people associated with him have been ripping him off tremendously, and he's like, doesn't have much left. So it could have been someone coming to the house maybe to do a test for some kind of legal documents, or, you know, it didn't require him going to a facility.
Okay.
It's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
So apparently, he did this on purpose. There is a solvent ink, a DNA solvent ink that Stan Lee created.
Wait, he created
it? Yes. But this in particular, it was stolen.
Okay.
There's so many questions I have about this.
I think we call Sherlock Holmes. Seriously.
So too.
I want to get to the bottom of this.
All right. He was moved by the community's response of blood donations after the shooting in Las Vegas, after that tragedy.
Right.
And in response, he formed Stan Lee's Hand of Respect, or that he has, that's his firm, Stan Lee's Hands of Respect, chose to dedicate the introduction of Stan Lee's solvent DNA ink made with the actual blood of Stan Lee to the Las Vegas community.
Mm-hmm. And actually, that Hands of Respect,
yes,
that's one of the agencies that apparently is at the bottom of this fraud, that not the one you're talking about,
right?
But the fraud that has been foisted upon him apparently by the person who's running it for him.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Now there's all right.
Yeah.
So this is multifaceted.
Yeah.
So Stan Lee's Solvent DNA Inc., he donated his blood to create it.
Oh,
and
okay.
Here is the quote. It is created with the highest of care and standards. Blood was drawn from Stan Lee by a hand-selected nurse and under the direction of a doctor. And they give out all of his information. And following the strictest of protocols, Stan Lee's blood was delivered to a country's leading manufacturer of ink products, where a team of chemists developed and uniquely customized ink compositions specifically for Stan Lee's Hand of Respect. And then those signatures utilizing that solvent DNA ink are certified, authenticated, and numbered with certificates of authenticity.
Oh, so you should know if you have a product stamped with that.
It could, in fact, be falsified.
It could if someone stole it, but you should be getting something that has an official, you know, holographic seal on it
of
some type. One would think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comics reportedly sold for $250 to $500.
Wow.
Stolen blood.
Yeah. No. No.
No bueno.
No.
No bueno. So many things going on. So many things.
Busy world out there.
It is a busy world. So I've started drinking this amino water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were telling me. Yeah.
It's an amino powder you add to water.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's great about it. Amino acids, right?
Yeah, they're supposed
building
to be good
blocks
for
of life.
Yeah, right.
Help you feel great.
Mm-hmm.
Do good things.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like a superhero, much like Stan Lee.
There you go.
Would write about me. The Super Hannah.
Bring it all together.
See?
God, so
talent.
Yep.
Except.
Oops.
It's naturally caffeinated, which I like. That's good.
Nothing
I don't
wrong
drink
with
the
that.
Coffee because if I coffeed on top of the amino water, heart would explode.
Oops.
So I made the water bottle the other day, the amino water, and I usually drink it on the way to drop the kids off to school. And then I come home and I feel energized in that 5-minute trip. And then I'm doing dishes and laundry and polishing floors and, you know, radio magic. There's a whole thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure out the other day why I had an extra water bottle and I didn't know what was going on. And I really, because I hadn't had any caffeine, I didn't know what was going on. I was Preston.
You're at your high level of alertness that you normally are.
No, right. So I was like, Grayson, I have a water bottle, Mom. Preston, where's your water? Mom, I got a water bottle. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. The moment the kids walked into the school and I lost chain of command of them, right?
Right.
I realized my daughter had taken my water bottle with amino waters instead of her plain water bottle with non-amino water.
And what
I had
is she
to...
in?
She's 7. Mm-hmm. So I sent her teacher an email immediately upon getting home and said, hey, you're in charge, but if it were up to me, I would send her to the water fountain.
I could just see.
Instead of giving her 20 ounces of liquid speed.
I could just see. Who knows their ABCs? I know ABCs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I can count to 1,599.
She's doing multiplication tables. She's doing long division. She's doing the school taxes. Yeah. It. And then what was my favorite part of the whole story is that later after lunch, her teacher emailed me again and said, I have many, many teachers on staff who want to know about this super fuel. So,
and speaking for teachers, I can attest to the need.
They need the amino.
Yes.
Yes. So that's my story. We're going to come back after the break, and then I'm going to get you guys to news with Roger Badish, and then we're going to talk to Justin Breen right on the other side. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer on WGN. More after this. More with me, Hannah Stanley, filling in for Dave Plyer, and Justin Breen from Prepic will be joining us right after the news with Roger Badish. Roger.
Yes.
Just didn't even know to play this song.
Really?
This was our song.
I know.
We used to always play this at the end of every show that Roger and I did together.
She didn't know?
She didn't know. I didn't tell her.
Oh, my God.
This is so exciting. Yeah. Hey, you know what else is exciting? It was meant to be, Jess says. You know what else is exciting?
Mm-hmm.
That's not as smooth of a segue as I've done before.
It sounds pretty smooth to me.
Justin Breen, formerly of DNA. You guys would know him from DNA Info, but now we all celebrate the year anniversary of Brepic. It's hard for me to say, but I've been practicing. Justin, hi.
Good morning. I'm so happy to talk to both of you so early in the morning, and this is me sounding exciting at 2:30 a.m.
You are so sweet. Every time you see him on the air, you pitch me the greatest stories. You started your own PR company a year ago, and it is gangbusters. But what is amazing is it is the greatest feel-good stories ever. Tell me how this all started.
So this is just a crazy day in itself. So later today, I rented out a suite at the White Sox game for my family and friends. So if you would have told me a year ago that I would be talking to WGN Radio, one of my favorite stations in the world, and then later going to a White Sox game in a suite for a company that, you know, just came up with the name, driving up to Wisconsin with my wife for my 40th birthday last year. I mean, to pinch me, I'm just so thankful to all my clients and for everybody for helping me out. But, you know, just how this works is basically what I'm doing with this PR firm is what I did with DNA Info, where I wrote really interesting stories. You know, I think the last time we talked was about, on the air at least, was about a bird eating somebody's koi fish.
Koi, I think about that all the time. Yes.
Right. Ugh. So it's basically those type of fun, interesting stories with some of the client information blended into the story, and then I pitch those stories to mainstream media, and that's why it's been successful. It's not a typical PR venture for sure.
I think that part of the reason we all flocked to and loved DNA Info and everything that it was is it was great human interest stories that don't get a lot of mainstream media coverage. You know, it was something that at least locally we could be like, I feel good about that, or I want to help that person. Those types of things, things that are sometimes being lost in media as we downsize and right size and do all of these other crazy things. Those were that was the place we could go to for stories that made us feel good or feel something.
So it's just been so fascinating, you know, with my clients like Allstate and McCormick Foundation, LISC, Bottom Line, Chicago Academy for the Arts, and Better Chicago and Burwood Group, which is an IT firm. Mm-hmm. You know, that all these places have like really just amazing stories to tell. And kind of how I sum up, when, you know, my pitch to potential clients is a lot of them have all these amazing stories and they just haven't been told the right way, or no one's telling them at all. And so there are all these gems of, you know, organizations or nonprofits or just companies throughout Chicago and beyond, because I'm running national campaigns as well. And it just needs to be told the right way so media, you know, can understand what you're trying to pitch and just realize, hey, right away, within the first paragraph or two, they know it's a good story right away.
Well, I think you bring some credence to that as well, because as soon as you message me, I'm like, yeah, I want that. I want to talk about that. McCormick Foundation, who you mentioned, will be coming up a little bit later in the show. Obviously, given the building that I sit in, it's incredibly important.
Right.
This is what the building that the Colonel built, essentially, but also Cantini is such a big part of so many of our youth and life and everything here in the greater Chicagoland area. Mm-hmm. At what point did you go, sure, starting a business, that makes sense?
Well, that's why like it's amazing to me that it's done better than my wildest dreams ever could have imagined already. And, you know, people kept telling me the first year was the toughest, but you know, since I signed with Allstate over last summer, that's when it really got over the hump, and the official incorporation date was April 16th, so of 2017. So mm-hmm. It's really just been just nonstop train since then. And, you know, current clients are referring me to other people, and people are renewing contracts because they see the value in, you know, getting in the Chicago Tribune or on WGN AM radio as guests or in the Sun-Times or in publications throughout the country. And again, you know, I think the difference in what I do is, like, it's, for lack of a better term, it's a journalistic story. It's a mm-hmm. real story. It's not a press release. Like, it's something that I would have done exactly as I had done at DNA Info, where it's an untold story or something really interesting or something unique or different about each client. what's been really cool for me is like a client like Burwood Group, which is like an IT firm. And you know, that's not necessarily the sexiest topic to write about, but they have so many interesting employees about, you know, folks that teach STEM skills to underserved youth in Denver, or one of their employees is running her 20th marathon in Paris, or there's another one who's a bodybuilder who, you know, she's a really successful bodybuilder in North Carolina. So it's like those type of things. Those are stories that media will care about. They're not necessarily interested in the company, but it's the people at the company which make for great stories.
Right. And really having those great stories put in front of us, sometimes it's hard to find them. So the one thing I want to ask from the journalistic angle, and then now moving into PR, you and I see the value of having somebody be able to tell your story correctly. A lot of businesses don't necessarily understand the value of having PR or having media, either training or somebody who can help them with that. Mm-hmm. It really, you know, stats, I'm sure. Tell me why somebody needs to invest in this.
Yeah, so it's interesting because when I talk to almost any potential client, usually what happens is for 5 to 10 minutes, they'll talk about how great their company is and here's what we're doing and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I go, well, that's great. I'm really happy for you and I'm happy you're doing well. But media is not necessarily going to care about that. They're going to care about they just don't care. They're getting 200 to 300 emails a day with lousy press release pitches or stories that why would anybody care about this necessarily? The general public doesn't care. So what you have to do is you have to find a story that, one, that, you know, people would want to read or see or listen to, or, but, you know, even more important than that, you have to find a story that media is going to actually pay attention to. And the value for and why my business has frankly done so well is that my clients see the value in that. They see the value of getting a front page story in the Chicago Tribune or made big coverage in the Sun Times or in Forbes or places like that. They, you know, they don't necessarily look at it as like a quantitative value. They say, hey, we're getting exposure in these major publications about the cool things and amazing things we have at our company.
Yeah, things that make them unique and allow them to stand on their own. It really is always fascinating to me when people say they can't afford to advertise. And being on this side of the industry, I'm always like, how do you not afford to advertise? You need to put your name and your business and what's special about you out there into the ether in some manner. Justin Breen, we are going to talk about so many more things. Brepik.
Correct. Yeah, my father-in-law, you know, he's a CPA financial planner, and he calls it Brepik sometimes just to bother me. So I've got to give Arnie Krause a shout out for that. But yeah, he helped me, you know, he helped me start the company in terms of getting the, you know, the making sure I understood how the business side of things run, because I didn't know.
Okay, so that's something.
I was a journalist.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to talk about, because a lot of times we sit there and go, I have a great idea, but I don't know how to start. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the starting part of this. Justin Breen joining me on WGN Radio. Hannah Stanley filling in for David Plyer. More right after this on WGN. Oh, what's a show without a little T-Swift? She's epic. So is Justin Breen. Justin Breen with Brepik. See, I said it right. That was like it flowed right off my tongue. That was perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Justin, thanks so much. It's 2:50 in the morning and you are up and awake and enthusiastically talking about how you formed your own company after you left DNA Info. Did you leave to form the own company? Did you decide this is something I want to do and then you took that next step?
Good question. So the incorporation date was April 16th of 2017. Came up with the idea a few days before my wife surprised me with a trip up to Kohler, Wisconsin for my 40th birthday. Mm. And on the drive up, you just said the word epic. I use that word constantly. I mean, constantly. Whenever I hear it, I just kind of laugh inside. because the name of my company is kind of a joke in a way, just because I like the word so much, and BR is, you know, the first two letters, yes. The first two letters of my last name. So I didn't resign from DNA Info until June of last year. So I spent the first couple months making sure there was no conflict of interest, but I probably contacted 5,000 people. 5,000 companies and or just my contacts, because I have a big following on social media, to find my first five clients. So I got my fifth client on like June 2nd, resigned June 3rd, and then Robert Feeder had an article that broke the news to the public, I guess, about my new venture on June 5th or June 6th.
Okay, 5,000 contacts. Is that hyperbole?
Oh, yeah.
That's real.
Oh, no, that's real. Yeah, I mean, so we talked before the break about, you know, what it takes to start a business. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the type of commitment. To get my first five clients, I definitely did probably more than 5,000. Like, constantly emailing, calling, meeting after meeting. And that's the grind. That's the hustle that it took for me to get there. And Allstate, which was my first really, really big client, they had originally contacted me to be a judge in one of their competitions, because it's Allstate Foundation. Mm-hmm. I work for them, and they have all these teams across the country that are just involved with amazing things. Like, it's stories I would have done for DNA Info anyway. So I met with them, just saying, hey, I can't do this competition because I'm doing something else that day, but I'd be happy to talk to you. And I was telling them what I was up to, and they're like, oh, we actually could use your help writing stories and then pitching to mainstream media. So that's, you know, that was really lucky, but I put myself in that position where I was even getting an offer like that.
Right.
Because I was taking all these meetings and contacting all these people.
That's the thing, because 5,000 people in April, May, June, right? So in 6 weeks of incorporation, like idea incorporation, and then to getting your first five clients, many people think in sales, you always think like 1 out of 10. You were one out of 1,000. This is the grind that people need to be dedicated to get themselves off the ground. And you were doing this with a full-time job, two children,
that's
and a wife.
Correct. Two very young children.
Yes.
And, well, and first a shout-out to Midwestern University. I heard heard the commercial, and that's where my wife went to.
Yes.
Right. So, and just as very quick background, the first date my wife and I had was the day before she started medical school at Midwestern University. So I have seen her grind it out. She's a pediatrician. And boy, our 10-year wedding anniversary is coming up in May. So literally all I've seen her do is work for the past, you know, almost 14 years. Mm-hmm. So that type of work ethic is in my family.
Justin, so, I just, ahead. My heart goes out to you. Seriously.
No.
I've been in the same spot. Before I went back to school to get my teaching certification, I was consulting, mm-hmm. Okay, the fancy word for trying to find another job.
Freelancing, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And started my own public relations business with two young kids, a wife working full time. There was a time where I had my daughter and our infant son in the car with me at 9 o'clock at night going to see a client to drop off printed invitations that I had just approved and gotten done earlier that evening.
Yep.
And so I totally understand the travails that you are going through. And like I said, my heart goes out to you. It's, you know, people think starting their own business, whatever it may be, is easy.
No, that's why I wanted.
That's funny.
Because, Justin, you make it look like you're the overnight success. But
okay, yeah. So let me just, okay.
Right.
So people, this is what happens. So, and people are very happy for me, and it's doing, like, again, beyond my wildest dreams. But they didn't see the start of this where I had two clients and, you know, wake at two, well, it's 3 a.m. now, but wake with a cold sweat at 3 a.m, like, hey, you know, I'm making sure I can pay the mortgage and all that kind of stuff. And, So I've met with all these like really successful entrepreneurs along the way, and I'm so glad, you know, Roger, that you brought up your story, because the people that really understand what I'm going through are fellow entrepreneurs. Like most people, they don't even understand. You know, they're comfortable getting their paycheck every 2 weeks or whatever, and that's fine if people that want to have that life and the comfort. The paycheck security, that's great, but like I don't even understand that world anymore after doing it for 21 plus years. Like I feel like this is the life I should have been doing a long time ago. And I meet with like super successful entrepreneurs all the time just to hear how they did it, and most of them started from nothing. I mean, similar to me, like I had zero clients. I mean, when I incorporated April, whatever, I had zero clients. And the best advice I've gotten is just to focus on what you're good at. When I started the company, I was doing social media for some companies and some other type things, but I realized what I was really good at was writing these stories and then pitching them. I had been essentially doing that at DNA Info anyway, mm-hmm. just to get DNA Info's name out there. I'd get write an exclusive or get a good story, and then I'd tell the Tribune about it, or I tell, you know, WGN or ABC or whoever else, because I wanted DNA Info's name out there. And so I was basically doing this job at DNA Info. And the other thing is, you know, take every meeting within reason. If a station like WGN says, hey, we have a time slot open at 2:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, you say you don't, but you laugh at it. Like, that is like, there have probably been 12 or 13 stories or interviews done about my company since I started, which is, that's great.
Because you always answer the phone.
I have you. You yes. have to in this type of thing. And you know, my wife is, again, she's the hardest worker I know. And she's starting to understand that, like, hey, I find out that there's an interview available for my client at Tuesday at like 6 a.m. or whatever, I got to get on that and make sure my client's aware and then the media outlets aware and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, also just to be nice to people. I think that type of thing is lost sometimes in society today, but like just genuinely be nice and put your best work forward every single day. And this type of this, I'm living the American dream. There's no doubt about that. And I say it all the time. And some people look at me like I'm crazy for saying that. But like, then I see entrepreneurs and other people that are, you know, having the success that I'm having, and they just start smiling. Cause I wish I could like bottle this type of feeling and like just give it to people. Cause like you can have the success if you just put your head down and work hard like every single day.
But it's the work that nobody talks about. So I'm so glad. That's why I wanted to verify. Cause I think people would have heard 5,000 in 6 weeks and be like, sure, whatever.
No.
That's legit.
More than that. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's, you've got to get that. You've got to put in the work, because you've got to, you know, the clients will come, but they've got to find you. You know, it's not going to be like all
correct.
Social media, like, oh, I started a company and
right.
everybody's going to flock. You
That's
working
correct.
Is hard. It's work. Work is work.
There's this great mentoring group I'm with. It's called True Mentors. And essentially I'm a mentee, someone who started their own business, and then they pair you up with a mentor, and the mentor is someone whose company they make a certain amount of, I think it's around $2 million, or someone who's a CEO of a company who makes a minimum of $2 million a year, the company in income, and so they pair you with some real heavy hitters. So, you know, besides the advice I've given, like joining True Mentors, that's been the best thing I've done, because the mentees, again, that's what I am. I'm someone who's just started a company. They all have this passion. And I would say less than 1% of the people I talk to on a daily basis just understand what I've had to go through, or realize that like you, to be an entrepreneur, this is the type of work that you have to do. And it's a very lonely existence, because you don't go to an office a lot. But like this mentorship group, like True Mentors, it's just amazing, because all these people like totally understand. Like you just feel like like you're not alone when you're talking to these type of people.
Justin, we can't, we just couldn't be prouder of you. Seriously. That's, it's just, it's so cool. I'm so happy that this is going so well and that I love the stories you're bringing me. And it just seems like so, your clients are the right kind of people for you.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. We have got to get to news, but thank you so much for all of the great people you've brought us and so that I can bring to the listeners. And then thank you for waking up at 2:15 in the morning to get on at 2:30. I appreciate it.
Yeah, today's a great day for Brepik. Put the work in, and now I'm just going to enjoy it and then get back to work right after that. So I really appreciate you talking to me, and we'll talk soon.
That sounds great. Thanks so much. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Next Door and Window. It's 3:02. Here's Roger Badish. Man, I love this song. Anything Bruno Mars does is just top of my list.
Did you hear the Passover version?
I did. I did. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer. For those of you tuning in going, wow, Dave sounds different.
Yeah. High voice there, Dave.
Look a little different, too.
Yeah, just tad.
He's taller. So a couple things. One, I love to hear from you guys. I love the listeners during this shift. You guys are all fantastic and really interact. Let me give you the ways to do that. 312-981-7200. You can text. You can call. You can jump on Facebook and write messages to us. There's all kinds of different ways you can get a hold of us. Tweet us. Tweet, tweet. 630 texted in a few minutes ago to 312-981-7200. I tuned in late. Where can I read more about the energy water? I'm telling you, it is a miracle. It is amino.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. It so not an endorsement of any particular brand.
Right.
But I use a particular kind. I find it on Amazon, and it's amino energy powder. It's a powder. I like the pineapple flavor.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
A little tropical there.
It's delicious. They also sell it at Costco, not pineapple flavored. It's blueberry lemonade is the one they have at Costco. It's okay.
Okay.
It's all right.
No, lemonade is lemonade. It's cool.
Yeah. So I like pineapple.
Nice.
But it is naturally caffeinated. So that's a thing.
Yeah, so don't mix it with regular coffee because you'll be buzzing.
Yeah. I use Optimum Nutrition Amino Energy. That's the brand I have chosen because I like the flavor.
Okay.
That's all. Yeah. But it does have caffeine, so use it carefully. You end up adding different scoops. Start with one. My suggestion.
How do you say you see one? How does it come in? A round container, a little?
Yeah, like a cylinder.
Okay, so I could just see someone looking at the cylinder going, I'll just add water to this.
No,
don't do that. No. One small scoop. That's the little measuring cup.
It is considered a pre-workout energy supplement.
Well, you're working out.
Yes, I am.
There you go.
Yeah. But I used it as a pre-work supplement on my way downtown tonight.
Okay.
Because I was very tired. So I was drinking amino water at midnight thinking.
Well, I can tell from personal experience, when you switch to a different time to work, your body goes through things.
It goes through things.
Yes, it does.
Hey, speaking of going through things,
yeah.
There
wow,
it is.
Wow, man, she's good.
There
ladies
it
and
is.
Gentlemen, give it up.
That's woo! Me. Thank you. All righty. My one woman show will be premiering. Hey, not my one woman show, but I will be hosting at the Rouse Center coming Friday.
Nice.
Lucy's Cafe. Tickets are still available. Come see yourself a little comedy show.
Beautiful.
I'm excited.
Sweet.
It's good times.
Yeah.
I will give up more information about that later. However, expiration dates, Roger.
Yes.
This is not our Swedish death cleaning story. However.
No, but it led into that.
Oh, it's going to.
Yeah. I still can't believe it has an A.
Swedish death cleaning. Yeah. But what happened earlier was I'm going to call it German Irish Scotch because I don't, you know, that's what I do. Right. That's who I am, among others. Yeah. I'm a human mutt. Human mutt cleaning is what happened at my house last week, where I decided, why did I put the glasses there when we moved 2.5 years ago? Yeah. They should be by the fridge. So I started reconfiguring the cabinets in my house, in my kitchen. And while I was there, I was like, well, I should really look at the expiration dates on the spices. And then the baking goods should actually be in the pantry, not in their own cabinet. That doesn't make any sense. And so then I started grabbing why I had 5 pounds of flour. I don't know.
Wait, but do you do that much baking?
There was a time, yes, where I did.
Okay.
There, I went on a big homemade pasta kick.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a thing. Okay. You missed out.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I would have come over.
So, but then at one point, I got really like, I had a lot of stock of flour, mm-hmm. and then the pasta thing went away in my brain.
Oh, man. Well, stuff like that happens.
I think I got pregnant. I think I was pregnant with my second child. Here's the thing, though. She's seven.
7 years ago.
Yeah, so... the flour that was on the very top shelf that we had moved with 2.5 years ago.
Oh, you moved the flour? Well, sure. Waste not, want not.
We moved 5 miles. It wasn't like it was, you know, I'm not packing up a refrigerated van. It was like, put the food in the car. We'll be there in 10 minutes.
Throw it in the box. Let's go.
So, you know the box tops for education?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm. They have expiration dates.
What? The box tops
the box
do,
tops
or the food?
Do. No. Well, that too. But flour doesn't. I didn't see expiration dates on the flour. I did, however, see box tops for education on the flour that had expired in 07.
Whoa. Wait a minute. That was like even before you moved?
No, wait.
I'm wrong.
It was 11. It was 11.
All right. Yeah, because that would be 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
So you got it right before...
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Or I had just purchased so much that I just didn't get through it.
Yeah,
so that could have been the old
stuff.
Because I apparently didn't cycle my shelves the way you're supposed to.
I didn't even know you're supposed to recycle your...
Well, you're supposed to put
so much I'm learning here.
You're supposed to put the old stuff in the front so you can use it first.
But you would... See, we don't buy a lot to store...
No, neither do I.
I go to the store two, maybe three times a week to buy what we need.
Yeah, I've actually started going to the store almost daily.
Okay.
Because I'm like, you know, it sounds good for dinner. And then I come up with a concept and then I go think, I need panko. And so then I go buy panko.
Okay.
All right.
So but now you've got all this flour.
Now I don't because it's all tossed. You should have felt the garbage can when I took it out to the curb.
I can imagine. We've done that.
So the flour was a little bit embarrassing. I went through 3 garbage bags of things. There was things that my husband would purchase at Costco, you know, and we'd use like one and go, the other 5 are not going to get eaten because they're not that great. But then we're like, well, maybe we'll forget and we'll eat it later. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden that expired 2 years ago. So here's the thing. We're going to go through a list, and we're going to do this after the break.
Okay.
But the good people at Real Simple have put together a very comprehensive list. Very comprehensive. Not just food, but you got to know, I'm getting off the air, and I'm going home and going through my pantry and my bathroom, because there's some personal care products that need to go.
Oops.
So we're going to talk about that right after the break. Comprehensive. But also, you, listener, at home or in your car, you know you've done this.
Hands-free.
Hands-free, please. Yeah. Safety first. Mm-hmm. But you know you've done this. I want to know the weirdest thing you found expired. Because there are some stories. I got some creepy stories. Not just the flour. The flour is no big whoop. There's more. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer. More with expiration dates and your stories as well. 312-981-7200. More after this on WGN. Sugar does have an expiration date. Just asked me in my headphones. Hannah Stanley filling in for... Dave Plyer. My expiration time will be 5 a.m. I'll be with you guys
I'm
until...
I'm expiring right now. You sent the heat upstairs.
Did I really?
I think so.
I'm not complaining. Not complaining.
Just
chilly.
In the last 5 minutes, all
of a sudden,
it's
down
like,
here.
Holy smokes! I want it to be summer, but not like this.
I had my socks off because it was so warm down here.
Yeah. Well, my shoes are off.
Well, that's always.
I don't know if you can tell.
I need to put my socks back on because my feet are cold.
Oh, jeez.
Because there's a vent underneath the console here.
Oops.
So we're talking. Yes. That's Roger Badish, my newsman.
Hi, guys.
We're talking about expiration dates. I went through my cupboards recently and found, no exaggeration, at least 50 products that had expired. Medication was our biggest,
mm-hmm.
medication and the pantry were our two biggest issues.
Now, pantry, you mean like packaged goods?
Yes.
Canned
like
goods?
Dry goods.
Dry goods,
if
right.
you will.
Okay, okay.
Non-refrigerated.
Got it.
Non-freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Our freezer's not bad. We use a lot of frozen stuff. So the freezer's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the fridge, I'm actually pretty good. I try to use a Sharpie. Sorry, I had a moment for Patrick Sharp there. I tried to use a Sharpie and write on the, seriously, he's retiring as a Blackhawk. That's amazing. I'm proud of him. Yay.
So
slow
sad.
Clap for Sharpie. But I try to write the date that we open things.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, the sour cream was opened in January. Get rid of it. Don't open it.
Yeah.
Don't care about recycling that tub. Just make it go away. There are amazing expiration date comprehensive list put together by the people of Real Simple Magazine. You can Google it and find it for yourself if you need it. Tea bags.
No way.
2 years within opening the package.
What?
Yeah.
I know maybe drying out because it's not a sealed container.
Doesn't matter,
it's a
though. The
product.
The tea, here's the thing with tea.
What?
It's incredibly absorbent. I've been to Celestial Seasonings in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
It picks up every fragrance, every aroma. So if it's by something, all of a sudden you're going to be like, ooh, why does this tea taste like Tabasco?
Right.
Because
well,
it was
because
by
you
the
always
Tabasco.
Put your tea next to the Tabasco.
Sure. Tabasco, obviously. By the way, 5 years.
One would think Tabasco would be forever.
Because you would think that it would kill anything that was in
it. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Soy sauce.
I love soy sauce.
How old is the soy sauce in your fridge?
I don't keep it in the fridge. I put it in the cabinet.
No.
Uh-oh.
I believe once it's opened, it's supposed to be refrigerated.
I don't remember seeing anything on there.
Well, check.
But
because,
I will.
Ew.
Okay.
3 months.
That's it?
Yes. Once it's opened, 3 months. I have soy sauce from the 70s.
Yeah. Well, mine's not that old, but yeah.
It endorses people keeping those packets in their drawer. Those little packs of soy sauce.
Yeah. Will those last longer, do you think?
They haven't been opened.
That's
and I'm
true.
Guessing they have like preservatives up the yin yang.
I'm
those.
Sure, yeah, and a lot of salt.
Yeah, well, preservative. Yeah. Worcestershire sauce.
Love Worcestershire sauce.
Unopened 5 to 10 years.
Not bad.
After this time, color or flavor may be affected, but product is still generally safe to consume.
Well, if it's unopened, because I've seen this,
right?
And because the bottle usually sits forever in our cabinet,
right?
But everything starts to settle, so you got to shake it up.
Yeah. Once it's opened, 2 years.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I could use one in 2 years.
Here's where we go, though. This
okay.
is where it starts to get interesting. Antifreeze.
Not in my kitchen on the shelf. I'm telling you that.
No, this is household products. Antifreeze, if it is pre-mixed, 1 to 5 years.
Isn't most antifreeze that you buy at a store?
Apparently, you can get a concentrate.
Oh.
And then you can mix it with water.
Okay.
Lithium batteries, 10 years. Alkaline batteries, 7 years. This one absolutely blew me away. I never would have thought this.
What?
Bleach.
Forever.
3 to 6 months.
That's all?
Yes, which explains why my whites aren't as white as they used to be.
Wow, I better tell Bridget about that one because she's got a bottle of bleach in there for like a year, 2 years. Because I don't use bleach when I do the laundry. I use the pre-mixed laundry detergent that, you know, bleach-free, fragrant-free, free-free.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
That's all I use.
The only thing that's not free is the price.
Right.
Yes.
I don't add bleach to anything, but she uses the bleach for stuff in the house.
Sure.
Cleaning and this and that and everything.
3 to 6 months.
That's
gotta go.
It.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That's unbelievable.
Windex.
Yeah.
2 years on
okay.
the Windex.
Yeah, I can use it in 2 years.
Beauty products, and I think a lot of women specifically, because we are the ones who use more beauty products, mm-hmm. Know this, right? We're supposed to wash our makeup brushes because they have bacteria and
right.
oils
form.
From our
sure,
faces.
Sure.
That's kind of grunge.
Uh-huh.
Body lotion, 3 years. You ever open the lotion, Jess, and all of a sudden it smells off? That's because the oils in it have turned. The oils in your lotions and body oils and things, they can go rancid just like regular oils.
Well, I tell you, when those oils turn, things can get nasty in a household.
No, no. I have showered again.
Yep.
I have lotioned and then gone, no. Mm-mm, that's got to come
man.
Off.
Man.
Yeah. No, you haven't? Jess, you live a life of luxury.
No, but what about perfume?
Perfume,
is that on the list?
It is.
There's alcohol in there.
Yes, and we are getting to alcohol.
Okay.
Yes, saving the quote-unquote best for last. Perfume, 1 to 2 years, again, because of the oils.
And guys, here's a little tip I learned in college. Mm-hmm. If you want the aroma to last just a little bit longer mm-hmm. on your evenings out, pour a little of the... aftershave or
face
your lotion,
balm. Sure,
in a little bowl, a fire resistant little bowl, and put a match to it.
Because it concentrates
burn off the
it
alcohol,
down. Sure,
and it lasts longer and smells a little bit better.
Oh, look at you, fancy. Yeah, I know. Jess is saying, who has time to do that? Bar soap only up to 3 years.
I go through that like crazy.
Well, I mean, you would think, but I know some people go out and they do like...
By a case?
They've got a case and they're like, I'll use Irish Spring till the day I die. And then they live until they're like 100.
Yeah.
And that Irish Spring...
is only 50.
And that it's not so Irishy spring fresh.
Yeah, right.
So...
Soap again is what now? Say it again.
Soap again was up to 3 years.
Up to 3 years.
Lipstick. Okay. Jess, you're young. Do you have old lipsticks?
Possibly. I was wearing lipstick earlier. I think it rubbed off with my coffee.
She asked to borrow mine.
On average, a woman consumes up to 8 pounds of lipstick in her lifetime. Yeah, because we put it on our lips and then we like eat it.
But those things are so little.
Doesn't matter.
8 pounds?
Yeah, 8 pounds of lipstick. That's a fact I read a long time ago. I don't know if it's accurate. Liquid eyeliner, 3 months after first use. Hairstyling products, 3 to 5 years. That's not bad, because most are alcohol-based, and it helps preserve
like
them.
Hairspray stuff? Is that what you're talking about, hairspray?
I think so, like gel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Thing, you know.
I used to use hairspray.
Nail polish?
Add hair.
18 months, nail polish.
Why so short a time?
It starts to break down. So here's the thing, and then we'll get to alcohol. I had pepper spray for, you know, personal safety.
Right.
And it was in one of the drawers that I was cleaning out. It had an expiration date of 2016. I called my brother, the police officer, and I said, can pepper spray really expire? Mm-hmm. What it is it's not the pepper spray itself. It's the propellant. Can leak out.
Ooh.
So they have the expiration date on it. One, probably to drive more business,
because
eventually you'll be like, oh, it expired. I got to buy a new one. But also because then if it doesn't spray my attacker, then I can't sue them because it expired.
You know what? This makes sense. Now you're repeating it again because we discussed this before.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about propellant, fire extinguishers.
Right.
It's not necessarily the chemical inside. It's the propellant.
It's the propellant.
And you go to use it, and nothing comes out.
Right.
Very interesting.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So there, and I'm actually looking for fire extinguishers. I think it's like a year or two.
Yeah, it's not a long time.
Oh, service or replace every 6 years. That's actually better than I thought it
was. What, for fire extinguisher?
Yeah. Hey.
I know that we used to, in the schools... They used to come every 6 months to check fire extinguishers.
Well, they check them because they can check the pressure on them and stuff.
Right.
But they don't, So, hey, let's go to the phone.
Okay.
Hey, is this Jean?
Yeah, I really appreciate you getting to me because this has bothered me for some time. And I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I really am, you know, not strong and don't know how to cope with things when they get when it could be an issue. And I found a bottle of bleach in my garage that is bloated. It is not sitting flat anymore.
Oh, no, no, no.
And I don't know what to, I don't even know how to open it. I mean, I could use it to clean toilets. It wouldn't kill anybody, you know, and stuff like that.
It might if it's all puffed up.
Well, what I was thinking is maybe I could put, like, plastic bags, several over the top, and then loosen the top slowly. That's all I can think of, because the problem becomes getting into it.
Right, and then if you put it in the garbage, then we've got a whole thing with, like, bleach leaking into the landfills. That's no good.
Yeah, I would find ways to dilute it and use it in toilets and to clean sinks and to soak.
Yeah, I'm concerned, though, about you opening that if it's all puffed up.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about.
Ooh.
So I haven't thought of a good notion. So if somebody calls in, I'm going to go to bed, but I keep the radio on.
All right. Well, I appreciate you listening. Yeah. Thank you for that. If anybody knows.
I have a tip for you.
Yes.
I belonged to a tip blog for a long time, and it went belly up over Christmas time. It was just killing me. And it was comprised of hundreds and hundreds of people who, you know, from travel agents to janitors to, you know, you name it. Everybody that was curious and wanted information belonged. And one of the things, the explanations for the expiration dates on a lot of products and a lot of medicines is the fact that if they put out an expiration date on any kind of a product, the company itself has to have tested it for that length of time.
Okay.
And they do not, and the government insists on this, and say it's baby aspirin or something, although we don't give babies aspirin.
Sure, you know, not anymore. No.
Older people take. And say it says 2016, well, it may have turned to vinegar by now, but it also is indicative of the fact that the company did not want to have to pay for testing longer than a year or two.
Okay, so there still could be validity in or validness or whatever usage in those products. They just can't. They can't proof that because they don't want to test.
And they don't want to bother. They just don't want to pay for the elongated test.
All right. So, Jean, I've got a texter coming in that says, from 815, that is the liquid chlorine turning into a gas. The gas takes up more space. Be careful of the pressure.
That's why. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think the only way I can think of opening it is, like, I'm thinking of plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
Bag after bag after bag. Take it out into a clearing and then take a wrench. Because my hands, of course, are not good. They're arthritic. And then, because you got to do something with it, you know.
Yeah, this is, okay, we're getting more texts about this. They're saying that nothing bad is going to happen to you. You just have to be careful of the pressure. Not explode, though. You just, if you can open it a little bit. But when you have arthritis, maybe you have a neighbor or somebody come over.
Yeah, but I don't want to endanger them either or scare them.
Oh, you're very nice. One of those places that takes, like, paint.
A handyman, maybe, that I hire who, you know, has experience with crazy women and their expired products.
Yes.
Honestly.
Perhaps that. But yes, I know that they have places where you can take hazardous materials, like paint and such.
Yeah, but wouldn't even want to carry it in the car.
Well, that's true.
In the condition.
But you know what? I'm concerned. I want you to get rid of this before it gets warm outside. Because the heat in the garage
really
in the
nice
summer.
It's cold all winter.
Yes.
This isn't the first year that it's been that way. I've been trying to figure this out for about
my goodness.
3 years, you know. So
we're going to talk about Swedish death cleaning. So if you miss it, you can pull up the podcast, and this will help you as well.
You are not only a wonderful entertainer, you are information pusher along. And, I always said the audience of WGN exceeds everybody else's.
Oh, thank you.
Because they're bright, you know, they're witty, and they're well-informed.
Oh, Jess, can you make a copy of that for when I have bad days? I can listen to Jean again.
Well, just think about that. I've caught you from time to time. I always enjoy hearing you. But that is a good idea. That explains it's true. That's why it looks so funny.
Yes.
Because it's turning to gas.
It's turning into a gas, and so it's expanding. But they're saying, many people are saying it's not dangerous, but just let it go slowly.
Yeah. Well, and I saw today, like, Test Kitchen, they were doing pressure cookers. And the thing is, you get out of the way.
Yes.
You know? Especially the old ones.
The old ones. And now they're all fancy now. They like
You still have to be cautious. And that's something I remember the food being on the ceiling when I was growing up.
Sure.
In the 40s, you know?
Well, nobody had them for the longest time, and now they're a thing again. Instant pots.
It's like the crock pot. We didn't give up the crock pot.
No, I love the crock
dangerous.
Pot.
We gave it up because it seemed like something from the past, and now it's the greatest thing around.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to make turkey in 20 minutes. That's awesome.
Oh, I never imagined that. My God. I've got a big enough one that I bought just because it was such a great buy, and it's still in the box. And I've thought, you know, what the hell was I thinking? Because I have vegetarians for son. So, you know, and everybody my age is in the 70s. They're even too... weak and fragile to travel.
Oh my goodness.
If I made a turkey in a crock pot, I'd be enjoying it by myself. Oh. My neighbors and I, at least for a good while. But
well, then they can come over and open the bleach for you. So make a turkey in the pressure cooker, have them open the bleach, take it to the hazardous waste place in your community, and then you're all set.
And I do know some guys who are just curious, you know, of how to, you know, they like to solve things, so that may be who I'll invite, but I will
You've
have
got
some,
a mystery, that's for sure.
Yeah, some plastic bags to throw over the top, because I did know you would need to protect yourself.
And gloves. I don't think any bleach is going to get anywhere, but just put them on gloves. Jean, thank you so much for your call. I'm going to turn everything over to Roger for the news.
Yeah, thanks. I've been enjoying your show immensely. Thank you.
You're so nice. Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Hannah Stanley here filling in for Dave Plyer. Do we have to go to break, Jess, before we get to the news? No. Okay, good. We're good. So, hey, everybody, it's after 3:30, but that means it's news time with Roger Badish. All right, Hannah Stanley out here on WGN filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. Thanks so much for listening, joining me as I try to get him to do as often as possible is my friend Johnny Olesinski, entertainment writer with the New York Post and theater buff, and currently joining me from London, England. Are you getting there early to get a good seat for the wedding?
Well, I'm going to try. You know. Over at Windsor Castle, the confines are a bit smaller than if it were at Westminster Abbey or St. Paul's Cathedral, but I want to get a nice seat up front.
Yes, 57 days and counting, but who's counting? Just me. Why are you in London, sir?
I am in London for the Olivier Awards, also known as the British Tonys.
Oh, you know I'm a huge fan of the Tonys.
You are, and this is much the same. If anything, it's a little more balanced between the plays and the musicals, but there's still going to be splashy performances from all the shows that are nominated, and big ones. There's one that starts with an H that I think some of your listeners might have heard of.
You know, I think some of my listeners might have heard of a show that starts with H from you when I sat on the air telling you that I thought you were ridiculous, that Hamilton was going to be a success. One, I was incredibly wrong. And two, it has opened in London. Tell me how it was received. I know they were balking a little bit at the cost of tickets.
Well, can I tell you how I received it?
Yes.
So I went about a month ago, and I was really nervous because I talked to a lot of friends of mine, and even people in the theater, which they totally remodeled for the show. And a lot of people in Britain don't know anything about the American Revolution. They know what happened. They're not thrilled about it. And
they're not sure. They definitely don't like the turnout.
No, but you mentioned Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and these people that, you know, American kids grow up worshiping, and they don't really know who they are. So the fan favorite is King George. So when King George comes out, the crowd goes wild.
I love his parts. He has, three solo songs, and they're amazing. And I will tell you, the kids love them. All of my kids, my nephews, everybody loves the King George pieces.
They're like great 60s pop songs, except sung by a dead king.
Yes. Yes. So how many nominations did Hamilton get from the Olivier Awards?
Hamilton, I believe, is either 10 or 11. It's not a record. And though, so sometimes what happens there, as happens here, is there'll be a surge of national pride that defeats what we think will happen. So, you know, Hamilton is the biggest musical in New York probably since A Chorus Line, and around the country since mm-hmm. A Chorus Line. And so we're expecting it to dominate. But what could easily happen is a show like their revival of Follies at the National Theater, mm-hmm. or a show I loved about a 16-year-old drag queen called Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Those are, you know, very British shows, very British productions that might upset Hamilton a little bit.
Follies is Sondheim, correct?
Sondheim, yeah. Okay. And they take just as much ownership of Sondheim in Britain as we do. They love those shows.
Of course they do, because they deal with things that aren't typically musical fodder. So Sondheim is a lot more melodramatic and actually dramatic. You know, let's talk about murder, Sweeney Todd. Sure, let's do that. That's fine. let's sing about cannibalism. You were just, as you mentioned, in London for what? A whole theater jaunt where you got to see a lot of things that might be coming to the States. What were your favorites?
So my favorite, as I mentioned, the one that could upset Hamilton, is a show called Everybody's Talking About Jamie. Mm-hmm. And it is based on, it's sort of like a Billy Elliot for 2018 with a lot of the politics removed. So it's based on a documentary about a working class boy in Northern England. Sounds like Billy Elliot so far.
Very much.
And he wants a job, and the job he wants is to be a drag queen. What's great about it,
that's
though,
where it differs from Billy Elliot.
That's where it differs from Billy Elliot, though Billy Elliot has its share of drag, too.
Yes, and still dancing, yes.
Oh, yeah. And so what's interesting is his mom is actually very supportive single mom, and the community isn't, you know, they're kind of over the gay thing, just as most of England and much of America is. But it's mostly his internal demons, so, you know, the kind of nervousness that a lot of gay people still carry around. But the lead performance, this guy, John McRae, who's, you know, tall as a beanstalk, he is perfect. Great voice, tons of sass. Your heart really goes out to him, and the mom as well, Josie Walker. I think that there's a great chance that will come to Broadway.
Really? How soon do they usually cross over?
It can be, you know, sometimes it can be the next season. Sometimes it can be a couple years. Harry Potter is opening
yes.
on Broadway at the end of the month, and that opened, I think, a year and a half or 2 years ago in London.
Mm-hmm. And you were a big fan of that.
Oh, I loved it. It's
yes.
great.
Okay.
It costs a lot. If you know, if you're taking a family of five to Harry Potter, that's your year.
Really? Is it like 200?
Two
oh, my goodness. Okay. So what else can we look forward to, and what else should we save our shillings for, especially Harry Potter, which once it's in Broadway and successfully entertains American audiences, we can expect a touring company. Chicago tends to be very frequently the second stop, or even having our own cast here, like a permanent cast, as Hamilton does. Do we expect the staging for Harry Potter is very expensive, very elaborate, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, in terms of set, that's the interesting thing about Hamilton, right, is even though it's this juggernaut and so many people love it, when you look at the staging, it's really not all that mechanically elaborate.
I have this
right?
scrap wood in my garage. I could stage that in my garage this tomorrow. Yes.
That's right. You go to a hardware store and do Hamilton.
Yes.
but then Harry Potter, as you might imagine, they didn't go low budget and simple. You know, some of the effects in that show, I've never seen anything like it. So moving it around will be a bit more complicated. I do think there's a good chance Chicago will get its own production.
Okay. This is exciting. I loved Harry Potter, all of the books. And so this is something I definitely look forward to. Now, is this, it doesn't actually recreate the books. Isn't it its own story?
It's a whole new story. So it's called Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And when I first read the script, I was a little bummed out, and I wrote as much. And part of that was, you know, a lot of it's not written by J.K. Rowling. It's her idea, mm-hmm. and she supervised it, and she's very involved. But it was written by a playwright named Jack Thorne, and a lot of that, like, witty, you know, observations J.K. Rowling makes are not necessarily what the characters say, but what she observes. Mm-hmm. That was gone. And then you'll have stage directions that say, you know, magic ensues or whatever. So I was a little peeved. And then when I went to see it, I went, oh, you filled in all the blanks with great stagecraft. The guy who directed it directed Once, among many other kind of beautiful shows. And you see that ingenuity and the heart he always pours into things. But yeah, it's a whole new story. Harry is now 40. He has
joined the club, Harry.
Yeah, right. And so he has kids, and his kid has to live in the shadow of Harry Potter, and that is a bit of a strain. He's also not extraordinary, right? Because Harry just went around being good at everything, even when he didn't try really hard.
Right.
And this kid's a bit less naturally gifted. And then he becomes besties with Draco Malfoy's son.
Oh, of course he does.
Drama, drama, drama.
Which, of course, means it is successful on the stage. So we can look forward to that opening in New York. So tell me again how much those tickets are per person.
They're actually not awful. So you can get seats, I think, for as low in the balcony as maybe $20.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's not terrible.
And then downstairs it gets, you know, there's always those premium tickets that cost $500, but I see most around $200.
Okay, and so you can, I mean, a family of five, it's $1,000, but you can save for that. That's like, it's a destination to do that.
You can, and it's also a big planning thing, because they have this, you have to get in the queue, as the Brits say, mm-hmm. where online, and I heard the queue was getting to something like 30,000 people waiting to buy these tickets.
Wow, that's like bozo.
And then they just, months of tickets, they snap up instantaneously.
Sounds a little bit like Hamilton.
A little like Hamilton.
All right. We're going to talk more about London, but I am excited to talk to you right after the break about a play, a musical that you and I have been anticipating for at least 2 years, possibly three, and it disappointed. That's going to be next WGN. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer with Johnny Olesinski of the New York Post. More after this. Hey, we've got the second half of my interview with Johnny Olesinski coming up after the news. You know what we didn't do, Roger? I didn't give you the alcohol dates. We were talking
booze
to Gene, our good friend Jean, and Jean said she was going to sleep, but somebody else texted in that chlorine gas is harmful. She shouldn't mess with it unless she's sure she isn't going to breathe it in.
That's what I thought. So there are masks you can get, and you said gloves.
Yes.
Make sure that...
A neighbor kid.
And a solid tabletop that doesn't tip over.
Right.
And
bags. I think the bags idea is solid.
I'm not sure about the plastic bags because, you know, it's...
Because it's caustic.
I'm thinking more of like some sort of metal container of some kind.
Well, but she wants to get it opened.
Well, no, that's what
pressure.
I'm saying. So what I'm thinking is, you see, this is very delicate. I was thinking of opening up the top slowly. It's kind of like the heater, the water heater on car.
Where you just release the valve.
Right. You do it very slowly, but then to drain it, instead of actually picking it up and stuff, like cutting the lower part of it so it drains out from the side instead of you having to lift it and pour it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would apply pressure to it by opening the top, and then you slit the bottom, and then it would leak out.
I'm telling you, there's going to be some people in our neighborhood who are going to be
come
all
and help.
Over this.
And do it in an open area. Don't do it in the garage.
No, in a field after it's recently rained.
Yeah.
So that there's, you know. Okay, so here's the thing. Beer and wine, we didn't talk about.
You would think, wine, I don't think lasts that long necessarily, even though you age wine.
Right. Okay, so here's the thing. Unopened, it's 3 years from vintage date, 20 to 100 years for fine wines.
What's a fine wine?
It is expensive.
Something over $100?
That is expensive. Yeah. Right. I don't know.
My buck and a quarter.
I don't drink at all. I have a big issue with wine. Not personal. I think wine is delightful.
Right.
It never did anything to offend me except for give me really bad headaches. Ooh. So, yes, 3 years from vintage date or 20 to 100 years for fine wines. However, once opened, 1 week refrigerated and corked.
Yeah.
1 week. Beer.
I can see it. Well, they advertise that now. The big push in advertising is the freshness of the beer.
The born on date.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, here, unopened beer starts to lose its flavor after 110 days.
Okay.
It's best to store bottles in boxes, then in dark places, where you will forget about them for more than 110 days. Stronger alcohol and higher levels of hops might extend the shelf life of a beer. One example, in particular, no endorsement, is Michelob Craft specialty beers, which are often at their peak with 180 days. And that is, of course, sourced from Budweiser. So we, you know.
Yeah.
Yay, company branding.
Now,
okay.
What about like hard liquors? They stay a little longer?
Spirits?
Yeah, spirits.
I'm not seeing anything on spirits, although I do know from personal personal anecdotal information from bartenders, not nearly as long as people think.
Oh, okay.
They can turn.
I'll throw one in there.
All right.
Coffee.
Coffee, okay, really, really quick, and then we have to get to news because otherwise my news gets a little upset. Coffee canned, ground, unopened, 2 years.
Unopened.
Unopened.
All right.
Opened, 1 month refrigerated. However, gourmet coffee, which is what I know you have experience in, 3 weeks in a paper bag, the beans, unground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Longer in a vacuum sealed bag.
Yes.
Still safe to consume, but the flavor might be a little off.
Right, they go flat real bad.
Yes.
Real fast.
And if it's ground, 1 week in a sealed container.
So here's
instant coffee you shouldn't really be drinking anyway, but unopened, 2 years.
Yeah.
Up to 2 years. Yeah. We are back, WGN Radio, Hannah Stanley with you tonight, filling in for Dave Plyer. I will be here until 5 a.m. Joining me right now from London, actually, is the New York Post's Johnny Olesinski. You might remember him as a theater writer for the Chicago Tribune, now an entertainment writer with the New York Post, but he hasn't left his theater roots behind, and that's why he's with me. You and I, Johnny, from the moment Frozen came out in the movie theaters, we knew it was written to be someday translated to the stage. The way the songs were added in, it was so perfectly set to be put on live.
And look at the guy who wrote it, you know, Robert Lopez.
Robert Lopez.
He wrote it along with his wife, Kristen Anderson Lopez.
Yes.
But Robert Lopez wrote Avenue Q and, you know, won oodles of Tonys for that. And was
involved with Book of Mormon.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So he, you know, is a creature of Broadway, a creature of musicals. And they've been on the record of saying this. From the moment Frozen began, they also foresaw it as being a stage musical.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are today.
It did its pre-Broadway run in Denver to mixed reviews. That's not unusual because they're working things out. Truthfully, that's why I didn't go to Denver to see it, because I figured, it'll come to Chicago, and by then it will be great. It opened in New York. Is it great?
So I reviewed Frozen.
Yes.
And, you know, I am a fan. I'm a fan of Disney. How can you not be?
Right.
And I am a fan of Frozen. It's not my favorite Disney film. You know, I prefer the Howard Ashman, Alan Menken, Little Mermaids, Beauty and the Beast, that kind of thing, more. I think those are better. But I still thought it was strong and certainly magical, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, well, Disney has the money to make a spectacular experience out of this. And they coupon clipped, shall we say. The whole experience left me cold.
Ah.
It's a good 45 minutes longer than the film, and it's all padding.
Why?
It's all padding.
The film is an hour and a half, which is perfect for kids. So if you add in an intermission, poof, that's going to be an hour and 45 minutes. They could do it verbatim, couldn't they?
They could, and they instead... It, was a little over 2 hours and 20.
Ugh.
Which, you know, gives them time to sell, you know, horribly
beverages,
priced drinks and,
yes,
and Elsa dolls and everything else. But even the kids didn't seem that enthusiastic. Part of it is the set is incredibly drab. It's as though, you know, there is a kind of a cloud over everything. So when Arendelle becomes frozen, right, you go, wait a minute, it was summer there before? That's what summer looks like. So, and you're trapped in this castle. And the tough thing about Frozen in general as a stage property. So when you go to the movies, we're a little more forgiving, mm-hmm, especially with CGI. But on the stage, you want some human connection, right? And you want these moments of togetherness. Well, Elsa's in an ice palace far away.
Huh.
So she's all alone. Of course, Let It Go is amazing.
Sure, good. They couldn't have screwed that up.
No, and that's the one great moment, but it was quite a bit of a letdown, and especially knowing, again, if you're going to take your family to it, I think that the rule of family entertainment is, yes, the kids need to enjoy it, but the parents also do, because the kids do not have jobs to pay for it.
Right. And the parents are going to talk. If I love it, I'm going to go to the school pickup line and tell everybody they have to take their kids to go see it.
Exactly. Parent word of mouth is big, and parents like a night out, too. And that is, you know, if you can bring your kids along and enjoy something together, then, you know, is there anything better? No.
No.
So, but you don't want to be anguished at top dollar.
Now, tell me, you contacted me a week or so ago asking when the next time we could talk about London Theater was. Tell me what else you were so excited to talk about.
Well, let me tell you about a hilarious thing I did. So I thought it would be a bit campy because, you know, what show has been running there for, I believe, 30 years. Is
Cats?
Les Miserables.
Oh, Les Mis, of course.
Everybody's favorite, Les Miserables.
Yes.
I thought, you know, it's been running in London continuously. It hasn't been running continuously on Broadway. I never saw the original staging on Broadway. So after a show, I contacted a friend associated with the production and asked if I could stand in the back for the end of the show. So the last 10 minutes, you know, so we tiptoe in, quiet as mice, right when he starts singing Bring Him Home.
Oh.
And the actor playing Valjean right now, which I was in disbelief of this, is 33 years old.
What?
He's like not much older than I am. And can you imagine me with a beard and singing Bring Him Home? I can't.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotion to that, a lot of maturity to that song.
But the actor, he's great. I'd seen him before in Kinky Boots. His name is Killian Donnelly, and he's a real star. He's just this great youthful presence that I'm not used to with that role, but along with the pathos you need. And the whole time I was in London, I said, wow, it's a very young scene, younger than Broadway right now, and it just felt more energetic. I'm not loving this Broadway season. Can you tell?
Yeah, you are not going to hide that from anybody, and I appreciate that. What are your thoughts for new openings for maybe Tony noms?
For Tony noms. So this is going to be an interesting year.
Mm-hmm.
So a show that is just opening now is Mean Girls, which I saw on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Mean Girls opened Sunday night. And that show will probably get a Tony nomination, but it doesn't. That's another one that doesn't quite work. It's like Frozen in that all the best parts of the movie are there, and then everything else is a letdown.
Now, see, on Wednesdays we wear pink, but that's
and you look so fetch
movie
when you do.
Now, that's a Tina Fey written movie. Was she involved with the production of the musical?
She was, very much. And the man that wrote the score
is her husband?
Is her husband, okay. Jeff Richmond.
Mm-hmm. Who has also written the theme to 30 Rock, the theme for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, all of her projects he's really pretty involved in. He was a piano player
I was excited
at Second
about it for
City,
that reason,
by the way. Yeah. That's how they
Because, you know, on 30 Rock, a lot of those, beyond the theme, he wrote all those, you know, for the girly show, he wrote all those songs,
yes,
that Jane Krakowski would sing, and they were really funny, and the score is just okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bummer. because that could have been really great. We're seeing so much of this where comedians are getting very into Broadway, specifically Steve Martin being one with Edie Brickell, who is Paul Simon's wife, who's very good friends with Steve Martin. But other people, other mainstream actors and actresses are getting into Broadway.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the big moments of this season, coming up at the end of it, is Denzel Washington in Iceman Cometh. And you could put Denzel Washington in anything. And the bus tours, they will come. You won't be able to get a ticket.
I want him to play me on Broadway. He has that kind of range. So
I mean, he'd find parts of you you didn't know existed.
I know. I love Denzel. So, yes, that is something that I will try to go and see. When does that open? You said the end of the season?
End of April.
Okay.
And so he will, of course, be a big contender for Best Actor. I saw him on stage one time, and this is sort of a funny story. So when I was interning in New York, this is maybe 10 years ago, he was in a production of Fences with Viola Davis.
Oh, my goodness.
Who was not really a star then.
Yeah.
So now, of course, she's on How to Get Away with Murder, mm-hmm. and she went into the movie Doubt after, and she's, you know, nominated for Oscars all the time. But it was this amazing production. Everyone wanted to see it, won all these Tonys. So I lined up at 3 in the morning outside the Court Theater on 47th Street on the block I now work. And I got behind 25 people at 3 in the morning who brought mattresses and sleeping bags,
oh my goodness,
and lawn chairs, and some nice ladies watched me while I took a nap until the box office opened.
Worth it?
It was worth it, but okay. What a horrible decision. I went to sleep on the streets of New York in Midtown.
Ten years ago, it was not what it even is today. So this was not necessarily your wisest choice. Hopefully your mother's not listening. I know you need to get some rest, although it's actually daylight there. So you need to get up and get moving. Thank you.
I need to hit the red carpet.
You do. All right. Thank you again for being my Broadway reporter in absentia when I'm not able to be there myself, and for telling me all of the great stuff in London right now that we can expect hopefully in the next year or two, or if anybody's going to London. And of course, you can read Johnny and all of his great works also at, what is it, newyorkpost.com. They can buy the Post wherever finer newspapers are sold, and then also follow you on social media. I have to mention this. It's at Johnny OMG. I mention it because I came up with it. My favorite.
And you came up with it, and I bet you didn't think I was going to do it. And what did I do?
You did it.
I did it.
Forever, I get to claim that I came up with your Twitter handle. All right, Johnny Olesinski, New York Post entertainment writer. Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy London.
Thanks, Anna.
All right, have a good night. Coming up after the news, we are going to bring it to you. This is History with Dave Schwann. I'm very excited. I've never gotten to do this segment with Schwanny.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great.
I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, he's almost as old as me, and so he knows a lot of stuff.
Yes.
About what you're going to be talking about.
Well,
some of it
exciting.
He was actually there. So.
Well, it starts at 1865, so I don't think that is really a thing.
It's not too far off.
Okay. Yeah. Well, 2 years ago, Patty Vasquez and I had dinner together.
Uh-huh.
It was snowing.
Well, guess what's in the forecast?
I know.
Yeah, sorry about that. But I don't think it's going to be as bad as 2 years ago.
I believe the phrase I used on my post when it was snowing was die, winter, die.
People are still saying that today.
I know.
I read last night on Matt's show, I was actually giving the wind chill.
Oh, good Lord.
10 above. Yeah.
No good. So Swedish death cleaning... We're not going to have a ton of time. We have so much content.
I know.
And
I know.
We're trying to get to our interview with the McCormick Foundation, which is amazing. Swedish death cleaning is what so many people are doing, organizations and the KonMari technique, right? Which is the gentle art of tidying up, which is the name of your book. It's great.
Okay, if you say so.
Okay, so now there's another book called The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning.
All right.
How to free yourself and your family from a lifetime of clutter.
Yeah. I didn't know that's what I was doing when I was doing it.
I told you you were death
cleaning. I know. I had no clue.
So what has always happened in the past, typically, at least here in the United States, right, mm-hmm. our relatives pass away.
Right.
And the kids or the nephews and nieces or whomever, mm-hmm. spouse, then clears out their stuff.
Right.
I did it for my great-grandmother when she passed away. It was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when my grandfather passed away a couple of years ago, actually 10 years ago now, my mom spent weeks down in Texas getting the house packed up. They ended up hiring people to finish it. It was a whole job.
Yeah.
So now people, especially, like the baby boomers are going, this really sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
My kids don't need to go through this, or I don't want them to.
Right.
And a lot of, and here's the other thing that's complicating it. People, not the baby boomers, the next generation, which I think is what Gen Xers, they mm-hmm. don't want your stuff.
Yeah.
My parents are like, well, do you want the dining room set? I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I have my own stuff.
Well, when Dad and Norma, his second wife.
Yes.
Had to move from the larger apartment to the smaller apartment.
Yes.
They wanted to get rid of all their stuff. Mm-hmm. They had too much stuff. And they were going to give some of it away to others in the housing complex. And I said, no, because the majority of the furniture was the furniture from our house that I grew up with.
Yes, but then what did you do with it? Did you bring it to your place?
We brought it to our place and got rid of our stuff.
Oh, okay. See, that's different. So I like the stuff that I have and mm-hmm. don't necessarily want the stuff my parents have. And so we're already starting these procedures at my parents' house. They're in their 70s. They've got plenty of time left, I hope. Mm-hmm. However, there's clutter.
Right. There's a collection of a lot of stuff over there.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. So now this is a thing where people are going through minimizing their clutter, one, mm-hmm. so they can downsize, but two, so that people don't have to necessarily be burdened with cleaning out their deceased relatives' stuff.
Right.
Either stuff they don't want to have mm-hmm. found.
Right.
Letters from old loves.
Mm-hmm.
Personal aids.
Mm-hmm. Things from childhood.
Yes. Yeah. So what they're suggesting is you do not start with photos and personal mementos because you get sidetracked. It's too painful. You just sit there.
Right.
So you need to decide books.
Mm-hmm.
Books are hard. Books are challenging.
Well, it depends on what kind of books.
Well, I know. But like, yeah. Here's the thing. My husband has like books from high school and college.
Because?
Let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So try not to get sidetracked
mm-hmm.
is you've got to stay focused. So
right.
So work small. A drawer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
One shelf.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
And be generous. Offer everything to your people before you give it away. Because eventually
yes.
it would have gone to them
right.
anyway.
And that's what we did. And I've chronicled this before.
Yes.
About a year after I got well, after my cancer.
Yes.
I said, we have too much crap in yes. two storage lockers in our basement.
Yes.
And not that anyone was going to die anytime soon.
Doesn't
in fact,
matter.
it was just after Bridget had her cancer, which she got a year after mine. But I said, you know, just in case. And it wasn't a death thing, but I just got tired of having it.
No,
plus, I had just retired from teaching. So
right.
I had 20 years of teaching stuff.
That you weren't going to have to access next year for, yeah.
Exactly. I didn't need it anymore.
Yes.
So I dumped all of that,
mm-hmm.
even though I did start getting requests. Like after it got dumped, about 6 months later, former colleagues of mine, hey, do you remember that assignment you did with so... Sorry, gone.
Yeah, see
ya. I even purged my computer.
Yes.
So we got rid of all that. Then I started going through the kids. You said to take it small pieces.
Yes.
So I got rid of the teaching stuff first. Then I went after the kids stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So here, do you want this? No. Good, gone.
Yeah.
Done.
Yes.
Then I started going through the personal stuff Bridget and I had. Do you want this? No. Good, gone.
Yes.
Pack up a bunch of stuff for clothing, send it over to Goodwill. I took, I must have taken 10 bags of clothes over to Goodwill.
Yeah, chip, chop, chip, done.
Stuff that's been sitting there for, and here's the other thing. What did they say? You might know this better than I do. If you haven't used something within...
A year.
A year, is that what it is?
Well, it's clothing is a year.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's different things, different time frames.
I'm still saying a year. Books you haven't touched for a year and you forgot you had.
Yeah,
if you forgot you had something that you suddenly found in storage, you don't need it.
Right. Unless there's value. And if there's value,
well, if there's value, then you go.
Either you sell it or
right.
if there's emotional value, then you display it. There's
exactly.
no reason to just keep things packed away.
Exactly.
Savor
and if it doesn't
things.
Sell,
yes.
then nobody else wants it.
Exactly.
Then you get... Schwann's laughing. Then you just get rid of it. You
Let
dump it,
it
or
go.
Donate it.
Yes.
You know? And we had, seriously, wall to ceiling, side to side, front to back.
It makes you
two
feel
storage
so much better.
Cabinets
yeah.
full. I'm now down to less than half a cabinet.
Oh, it's the best. I've gone through and eliminated like three huge piles of paper. Either they were gone or shredded or mm-hmm. I scanned them. I'm going all paperless
Ooh.
At my house. I'm going to hit a break so I can get you guys to news so
okay.
that I can get everybody to This is History with Dave Schwann
yes.
right after this. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer more after this. More after this on WGN.
Ask not.
The Beatles. Those circuses on the air.
The president doesn't.
Sometimes you feel like
that means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here.
Hey, Luke, may the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer. Dave Schwann, how are you?
Well, good morning to you. How are you doing?
I guess I should say Happy New Year.
And to you.
I don't know if... I may have seen you once or twice here since
remember.
The beginning
of
the year.
I was here on New Year's Day, but I don't know that you were.
I was.
Okay, good.
Okay.
But it was
Happy New Year anyway.
It was Persian New Year the other day.
Oh, was it really?
Yes, it was the first day of spring.
Okay.
So Happy Nowruz. To those
wow.
celebrating.
How are you?
I'm good. You're going to have to walk me through this. I've never been able
to, oh,
I've never had the pleasure
do it just fine.
Of doing This is History with Dave Schwann.
Well, we will muddle through. We'll do just fine.
Well, I've
this
been
is
left
a, this is a segment
notes.
That Dave came up with, oh, I don't know how long ago. And so we have some fun talking about things that happened this day in history and into the coming week also.
Okay.
So it's educational. It's fun. It's interesting.
Well,
hopefully,
here I said I've been left tremendous notes because that is who
that's
Dave
what
is.
Dave does.
Yes,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
who he is as a person. So I will read through these. 1865, President Abraham Lincoln is shot by John Wilkes Booth at Ford's Theater
on April 14th.
Okay,
a little after 10 at night, and the play.
Yes,
Our American Cousin.
Yes.
That was the play.
And other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
How was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? I don't think that was in her mind at the time.
No.
Actually, from the accounts that I've seen is that they were enjoying it very much. They came late. They arrived to the theater late. They stopped the play. They played Hail to the Chief, and he waved, and everybody cheered and sat down, and then... Oh, an hour or so later is when it came. John Wilkes Booth knew the play so well. He knew there was going to be a line that would get a big laugh, And that's when he was going to do the deed.
Because he was, in fact, an actor.
He was an actor, yeah.
The bed, this is not in the notes, by the way. This is just me knowing this. The bed that Lincoln died in, that he was laid in across the street from the theater, is actually at what was formerly called the Chicago Historical Society, and I believe is now called Chicago History Museum.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
You're right. You're
so,
right.
And he was so tall that he laid
they had to
crooked.
Kind of lay him diagonally
yes.
there. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is a thing. All right. That's April 14th. 1894, sir. This is...
I wasn't there yet.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Okay. Because Badish said you were. All right.
I don't doubt that.
I didn't. I was like, don't say that. He's a nice man.
He's older than me.
Ugh, I know. First public showing of Thomas Edison's kinetoscope.
Oh, okay.
Moving pictures.
Moving pictures, right.
Like kinetic sculpture.
Yeah.
Moving sculpture.
Yeah.
So kinetic, a kinetoscope is designed for films to be viewed by one individual at a time through a peephole viewer window at the top of the device. I've actually seen these demonstrated.
They're pretty neat, aren't
They're
they?
They're very neat. Very quick, but neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because it goes around in a circle, typically. And so it's like a loop.
And that must have been absolutely fascinating for people at that time to be able to see something like that, even if it was through one of those little viewfinder things, you know?
No, but they were watching motion.
That's the thing, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
But sort of, it is a more stylized version of a flip book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have the persistence of vision is what makes that happen. And as things go by very, very quickly, that's how the earliest cartoons were made.
Yes.
You know, where they were drawing and a person would be walking or moving their arm.
Yeah.
You know.
And the number of frames per second.
That's right.
Made it
smoother.
That
is right. Yeah. Yeah. You're doing just fine.
Oh, shoo. Okay. One fact about Lincoln, and I'm good. Okay. 1902. I've got a fact about this one, too. James Cash Penny opens his first store.
That would be J.C. Penny.
All right. Yes, you are right. The Golden Rule now operates over 1,100 stores and is seeing signs of a recovery after new management's marketing and merchandising debacle 2 years ago.
Yeah, they've been fortunate when you look at other stores like Sears and so forth that, you know, have not been as fortunate in terms of their revenue. But yeah, they have seen a bit of a comeback.
I have a picture here on the desk of my first store.
In 1957, Penny recalled those early days for Edward R. Murrow on the CBS program Person to Person.
I, being a country boy and not acquainted with city ideas, my first store, as you know, started in a town of 1,000 people. I chose that because I thought I could get to the hearts of the people quicker in a small town than I could in a large town.
Indeed he could. J.C. Penney's first store made a pretty penny from the start. Over time, he bought out his partners, opened more stores, and eventually put his own name on the sign.
Very interesting. So my parents went to college with a girl whose dad worked at Penny's.
Oh, yeah.
And they were invited to her wedding, and they went to the wedding thinking she's one of them. Normal person. Pull up at a huge estate. He was one of the board of directors of JCPenney's, and JCPenney himself was at the wedding.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's my story there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there you go. 1910. Taft is the first president to throw out a first ball at a baseball game.
Yeah, which one, which game was it?
Mm-hmm.
Does it say there?
No.
Okay.
I blame Dave Plyer.
All right.
I didn't know there would be a quiz. It doesn't say, but 1910, there were only a few teams.
Oh, there weren't near as many teams
as they have now.
Reds, St. Louis, probably an East Coast team. It might have been.
Probably because he was there and
traveled. Baltimore or New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travel wasn't
what it is today.
No. 1912, sir. The Titanic sinks at 2:27 a.m.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. That's on April 15th. So that's coming up this week. The massive ship, which carried 2,200 passengers and crew, struck an iceberg 2.5 hours before. And do we know, do we all know that there was a fire that was brewing on board? And that's why they were full steam ahead. We do have a clip.
And now let's take up the story from survivors of the Titanic themselves. First of all, an American passenger, Miss Edith Russell, traveling first class. Where were you just before it happened, Miss Russell?
In the library. The steward had just called out, 11:30, lights out. So I gave him a few letters to post in the morning, told him I'd pay for the stamps, picked up a book and walked forward to my stateroom, which was on the same deck, A11. And as I got in my stateroom, I switched on the electric light, and I noticed a slight jar, followed immediately by a second one, and a third one, which was quite strong enough to make me hold on to the bedpost. The boat came to a full stop. I walked forward to my window and saw a grayish-white mass drifting by. I was very much surprised and decided to take my fur coat and go out on deck and see what it was all about. Well, when I got out on deck, I noticed the general standing by the rail and several people in a large, again, this grayish mass. I said, what on earth is that? That? Oh, madam, that's a lifeboat. That's an iceberg. Iceberg? Gracious, I've always wanted to see one of those things since I was a child. Well, you're seeing it Corker now. There's 1/8 above the water and 7/8 below. And believe me, that's some iceberg. So, after that, we picked up bits of ice, played snowballs for a little while, and it was very, very cold. I asked one of the officers if there was any danger. He said no, and I went back to bed.
As simple as that. No danger as far as you were concerned.
No danger.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating to listen to people that were actually there?
Yes.
Because we're so accustomed to video today. I mean, if that had happened just several years ago, you would have had helicopters and everything overhead.
Yes.
And fortunately, much more efficient rescue efforts.
Yes. Notable heirs who passed away were heirs to the Strauss, Astor, and Guggenheim
that
fortunes.
That is correct.
And of course, the soon-to-be son-in-law from Downton Abbey. So, all right, moving on. 1925, the first regular season Cubs game to be broadcast on radio, which was on WGN, was on April 14th. Here is a legendary voice of longtime Cubs announcer Jack Brickhouse. We think. I'm looking at a statue of Jack Brickhouse out the window.
Oh, yeah. I remember the dedication for that.
All right. I'm being told that we don't have
it. We don't have it?
All
okay.
Right. 1934, the lovely and adorable Shirley Temple appears in her first movie, Stand Up and Cheer. She was so cute.
Yeah, she was. She was. Of course, one of my favorites is Heidi.
Oh, yeah. Grandfather.
And are you aware that I don't remember what Super Bowl it was, but there was
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mistake.
Where they flipped with like 2 minutes left driving to the end zone.
Yep.
Grandfather. Yes. Yes, I do know what you're talking about. Oh, 1938, cartoon characters Daffy Duck, Elmer J. Fudd debut. Daffy was one of the first of the new screwball characters that emerged in the late 1930s to replace.
I loved all those.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. And you know, Hannah, there was when I was a small child, if you went to the movies, they would still show those before
really?
The movie. Yeah, I
like
saw
the
some,
older
the old Looney Tunes.
Oh my goodness!
I remember seeing Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd and Daffy Duck as a small boy in the theater.
See, I'm a little younger, just a little, but they were playing Tom and Jerry. But they were older Tom and Jerry's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tom and Jerry was not current. They started making newer Tom and Jerry's when I was younger, but.
Well,
anyway.
Those are classics. They would have to keep those, you know.
They would. We have a clip, I believe.
Them silly ducks going south every winter, north in the summer, south in the winter, north in the summer, south in the winter. They're in a rut. Confidentially, folks, I ain't going south this winter. I'm going to stick around and check up on this winter business.
You'll be sorry.
I should be sorry. I got the whole lake to myself.
1948, we'll be moving on from our friend Daffy Duck. ABC TV network begins. It was 1943 as a radio network. It was a successor to the NBC Blue Network, which Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf just played a selection from the Blue Network. Yes.
Yeah.
Which was purchased by Edward Noble, then extended its operations to television in 1948, as I mentioned before. In the mid-1950s, ABC merged with United Paramount Theaters, a former subsidiary of Paramount Pictures. Leonard Goldenson, who had been the head of UPT, I'm telling you people, these notes, exhaustive, managed to make the new television network profitable by leading it to broadcast many successful series, and not one of them was written by Shonda. One of the first series was Candid Microphone, a precursor to Candid Camera, game shows, news shows, sports, and one of the first televised talent shows, Hollywood Screen Test.
Candid Microphone?
Candid Microphone.
I wonder if there are any air checks
Who
existing.
Who is that masked voice?
Do you realize that you are recorded? Remember the old Candid Camera program?
Yeah, where they would Alan like glue and, a $5 bill down and then record all the wackiness that ensued. So now with Candid Microphone, they were just recording all the people swearing about it.
Yeah. Right.
Beep, 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 beep. 1955, Sir Ray Kroc starts McDonald's, chain of fast food restaurants out there in Des Plaines.
Never heard of them.
No. We have a clip.
McDonald's is our kind of place. It's such a heavy place. Half, half, half heavy place. A clean and snappy place. McDonald's is our kind of place. It's such a heavy place. McDonald's is our kind of place.
Your kind of place.
McDonald's believes in getting food to your kids before they get to each other. Such good food, too. McDonald's famous French fries. Triple thick creamy shakes.
You know, I remember the You Deserve a Break Today jingle.
I remember this spot.
Yeah, do you?
Oh, yeah.
The You Deserve a Break Today, So Get Up and Get Away to McDonald's jingle.
Oh, yeah, that one came after this one.
Written by Barry Manilow.
That is right.
Yes.
That's right.
We love us. I'm a fan of Low. The McDonald's location, he wondered if you had been to the first location in Des Plaines. He says it's like a museum. I believe now it is only a museum. They closed it.
Yeah. They had a problem with, the building,
water
actually.
Or something,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Right. And they were able, from what I saw recently, they were able to make repairs and at least keep it there for a little while. They had to close it for some time, though. Yes.
All right. 1957, due to a lack of funds, boy, this sounds familiar, Saturday mail delivery in the United States is temporarily halted.
Yeah.
From the News Gazette in Central Illinois, most of us no longer want to refrigerate our foods with blocks of ice delivered by horse cart, operate a hand crank to start our cars, or live our entire lives by candlelight. New technology has made relics. Blah, 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 blah. Basically, they lost a lot of money, so they halted production or mail delivery.
Mail delivery.
Mail delivery on Saturdays. It's since returned, and now they talk about cutting it all the time.
They talk about, I've heard some talk about that, but I got mail yesterday.
I did, too.
Yeah.
It was nothing of value, but
no,
I got it.
No, it wasn't.
Nothing of value. 1961, Stanley Cup Chicago Blackhawks beat Detroit Red Wings 4-2. And the next time they did it, 2010, right here on WGN Radio. Go Blackhawks.
Lost yesterday.
They did, to Winnipeg. And Patrick Sharp.
That was the season finale.
That was the season
finale.
4-1. Yes.
Took
a moment to honor the victims of that bus crash.
I thought that was very touching.
That hockey community, they do it right.
Yeah.
1964, Ford Mustang formally introduced. It is manufactured, go figure, by the Ford Motor Company.
What? Run that by me again.
April 17th, the unexpected, the new Ford Mustang, brilliant new kind of car, a new generation of Fords for the new breed of Americans who want stick shift action and room for four.
Schwanee, is this you doing the voiceover?
No, that's not me.
Are you sure?
I was probably about six when they did this. All right. Oh, you said 1961?
Four.
1964. Oh, I was 8.
Okay, well, you could have. You've had those dulcet tones your whole life. 2017, I can't believe Dave doesn't get to do this one himself. Don Rickles passed away last year on April 6th.
Yeah, he was the first person I thought of when
yes.
I heard that
Plyer was a
passed.
Huge fan, had
yeah.
pictures with him, had met him on several occasions.
Oh, a number
occasions.
Of occasions, right.
Yeah, we
right.
definitely have a clip of
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I was in touch with him on Facebook about it.
Yeah.
This is America. Yes, sir. And that's why I just want to say, before we go any further, for 14 years, Johnny Carson kept saying, "Do you really know Frank?" And I want you to know, Frank, I worship you and I love you. I really mean this, because since I'm a kid, I used to blow in girls' ears and hear you go, la da da dee, do it my way. I need a girl so bad. I love my wife, but she's ill. But you just got married, Frank. I just can't picture him on the wedding night standing in the room going, and did it all, and I suppose it's my way.
Oh, classic. So this is history with Dave Schwann.
Frank, when you get a minute.
And Hannah Stanley.
And Hannah Stanley.
Don't forget you.
I'm so excited I was able to do this. We're going to go very quickly to a break so I can get you guys back to Walter Jacobson in just a moment. Schwann, thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Hannah.
All right. Hannah Stanley filling in for Dave Plyer. More right after this.
Ring, ring. Hello there. I'm trying to reach the United States Congress. Anybody home? No. Congress is closed. After passing a $1 trillion spending bill last week, members of the House and Senate scampered off Capitol Hill and out of Washington on a 2-week vacation, as fast as they could scamper to avoid that big D.C. rally for gun control. Since then, all 256 members of the House who voted on the spending bill have admitted they did not read it. They simply passed it. A bill to spend $1.3 trillion taxpayer dollars to run the federal government, money for the military and the VA, for domestic and foreign affairs, and criminal and civil justice, and a wall to keep out illegal immigrants. Every single taxpayer penny the government spends, all the specifics of budgets and priorities, are itemized in that spending bill, including an assurance that members of Congress will be paid a salary of $173,000 a year for life, the political party leaders in Congress a little extra, $193,000 a year for life, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, a little more extra, $233,000 a year for the rest of his life. For that kind of pay, you'd think that before the members of Congress pass a $1.3 trillion spending bill and go on vacation, the least they ought to do is read what's in it. I'm Walter Jacobson, and that's my perspective. For more, visit WGNRadio.com and the WGN Radio Plus app.